Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking. What is going on, guys? Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post show for November 15th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue inside my mother's basement. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Friday nights, wherever you may be. We got a loaded show tonight, guys. And it's going to be a little bit of a different show, maybe. We don't really know yet, maybe. But right now, I got Netflix on. I see you guys here, and I see Netflix over here. I may actually move you guys over here to see with Netflix. But I got Netflix on right now. I'm watching the ladies come out. And if we are still live when Tyson and Paul hit the ring, we will shift gears and do a live reaction tonight. Or I may just stay live throughout the entire thing and do a live reaction at the end of the stream for Tyson Paul. I'm not really sure yet, but we got one thing to take care of first. Let's get things in order. SmackDown tonight. And that was a tremendous show. At least the second hour was anyway. The first hour of SmackDown was the typical Friday night SmackDown that you would assume. Second hour, I really felt like they pushed the boundaries and it almost felt like a different show altogether. It felt like a WWE that knew something substantial needed to happen and they flipped the switch. And that crowd reacted in the best possible way to everything that went on in that second hour. It really brought to life everything that WWE wanted to put out there on the way to Survivor Series. There's a lot to dive into tonight. We got Cody and Kevin Owens. We got Randy Orton still out. We got the Bloodline stuff. We got the Street Profits and the Motor City Machine Guns. And what happened at the end of that match? We got Nia and Naomi, which, gotta give the ladies credit, was a very good televised women's championship match that obviously, once again, is pushing WWE towards the war game situation with the ladies. I want to start with Bronson Reed. The Bloodline is still looking for a fifth man. That was the whole premise of them being on the show tonight. They were looking for a fifth man. Roman wasn't in the building up until the middle of the show. It was Sammy, it was Jay, it was Jimmy. They all know they need a fifth man. Right now, neither team, as of the beginning of this show, had a fifth man. Sami Zayn spoke to Seth Rollins. Sami Zayn spoke to other people on Monday night. He spoke to LA Knight tonight. Jimmy, he spoke with Bron Breakker on Monday. We don't know if or when or if that was going to be a thing over there. We don't know if a discussion was had. They certainly teased one on Monday. We don't know if it's going to go into greater detail on Monday, this coming Monday. But then we get the situation of Sami Zayn asking Seth, saying no. Solo Sikoa, he asked Seth Rollins, and he said no. So that was the big takeaway from Monday. But we didn't really know where they were going, and a lot of people in the community, they were very boisterous about what they wanted to see and what they didn't want to see, me included, at the Survivor Series War Games. A lot of people were like, I don't want to see Bronson Reed or Seth Rollins shoehorned into this War Games situation. If that's the case, you might as well just leave them separate and just do the War Games as a four-on-four match. Bloodline versus bloodline, family versus family. A lot of people were like, well, I don't really mind Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins getting into the War Games match. It would make sense as far as their feud is concerned. Rollins and Reigns have history, and I think that would be a great idea, said some people. There were also people on the other side of the fence that wanted Cody and Kevin Owens. That was my idea. Cody Rhodes teaming with Roman Reigns once again after we saw him team at Bad Blood with Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens joining the Bloodline 2.0 just to get at Cody Rhodes. That obviously did not happen, and that certainly is not going to happen after what transpired tonight on SmackDown. So both teams are looking for a fifth man. Like I said, Sami Zayn asked LA Knight. He said no. Well, I don't know why LA Knight would want to do anything with Roman Reigns. But then, after that situation, they felt like they had another idea. They had another idea. So they sat with Roman Reigns, discussing the fifth man situation, and all of a sudden out comes Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline. They're making their way to the ring. They're about to cut a promo, Solo saying, acknowledge me in front of the crowd tonight. Everybody did not acknowledge him. Soon as they hit the ring, the OG Bloodline hits the ring, and we got an eight-man brawl, four-on-four. There's bodies everywhere. Fatu is throwing out super kicks to everybody. Roman's going after Solo. The Tongans are going after the Usos. Sammy's going after Jacob Fatu. And then all of a sudden it gets to Jacob and Roman. And fans, obviously, you start to hear the buzz in the crowd. You start to hear the holy shit chants. You start to hear the OTC chants. Jacob Fatu is in the ring praying with Roman Reigns. He's standing there like praying to Solo. He loves Solo, right? He acknowledges Solo as his tribal chief. So they get into it, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a tsunami hits, figuratively. Tsunami hits Roman Reigns from behind, and Bronson Reed shows up on Friday Night SmackDown, and he lays waste to Roman Reigns. Roman's fighting back as valiantly as he can. He delivers a Superman punch to Bronson Reed, but obviously, when you're staring down Bronson Reed and Jacob Fatu, which has to be the most menacing duo in all of WWE, maybe in all of wrestling, if you want to pair them together, it was too much for Roman. You got the mighty moonsault by Jacob Fatu. He hits his moonsault, and then Bronson Reed delivers a tsunami to Roman Reigns, and he lays waste to Roman Reigns. And at the end of the segment, they all stand tall together. Bronson Reed and the Bloodline 2.0 and Jey Uso is telling Roman as he's finally coming to, you got to make the call. You got to make the call. To who? To who? We all assumed, seeing that we saw Bronson Reed, that the phone call that Jey wanted Roman to make was to Seth Rollins. Now, there's no reason for Roman to call Seth Rollins. Rollins has no business in this as of right now. We'll see if he wants business on Monday. But why would he want to get involved? He doesn't give a shit about Roman Reigns. He made that abundantly clear on Monday. So what's going to happen on Monday that possibly gets Seth Rollins involved with this nonsense? But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We have tonight, and we got one half of that situation. Bronson Reed joins the Bloodline, and now he is a part of the War Games situation. Bloodline 2.0 has their fifth man in Bronson Reed. You could not ask for a better fifth man if you are the Bloodline. Am I excited to see them shoehorned into this feud, into this match? No. No, I'm not. I would have just kept it a four-on-four situation. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't like it completely. Would I have done it? No. I would have not. No matter how you look at it, you could sit there and tell me, well, JD, Cody Rhodes, and Kevin Owens didn't make sense to be the fifth man on either team. Sure, you could mention that. Cody's team with Roman before. Cody's been a valiant babyface who defends the rights and the good in people, right? With the good of the WWE. Kevin Owens, it would be a little outlandish for him to team with the Bloodline when the Bloodline have been nothing more than a headache to Kevin Owens. But with Cody on the other team potentially, Kevin Owens joining the Bloodline 2.0 just to get back at Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens would have made at least a little bit of sense. Now we're looking at Bronson Reed, who had nothing to do with the Bloodline. He's part Samoan, sure.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
But now we got Bronson Reed involved. As of right now, we don't know why. We don't know why. We didn't get an explanation as to why he attacked the Bloodline tonight. Did Solo just ask him to do him a favor? He went to find a fifth man, and that was his number one guy right there. But now we're looking at a situation with Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins as the fifth man on both sides. But Bronson Reed, though not my first choice to shoehorn him in this thing, as with Seth Rollins, you watch tonight's show, man. I said it immediately on social media. Bronson Reed looked fucking tremendous in the Bloodline. He looked like the most perfect fit in the Bloodline, standing next to Solo, standing next to Jacob Fatu. He looked as menacing as he's ever looked in WWE. That's number one. Number two, it is very difficult for us to sit here as a community, as fans of what the WWE has done. It is very difficult for us to sit here and say, oh, I don't like it. Sure, you don't have to like it, but look at Bronson Reed. Look at Bronson Reed over the last 4 months. Has there been anybody hotter in WWE? It reminds me of when Drew McIntyre just all of a sudden got red hot, white hot on WWE television for being the fucking Scottish psychopath all over again. Carelessness, just ego-driven. He just had this prick-like attitude to him. He was dominant, right? He was out there fucking throwing jabs at CM Punk for injuring CM Punk, for ruining the parade of a CM Punk return in early 2024. I mean, the guy was one of the best things in all of pro wrestling when he was on TV feuding with CM Punk. He's now taking some time off. Now we're looking at Bronson Reed. It is very difficult for us to sit here and say, that man doesn't deserve it. You can't say that. You can't say that. Bronson Reed is getting a major PLE spot, a major PLE match in the biggest storyline maybe in company history. And he's now side by side on Solo's Bloodline War Games team. I don't know how anybody can't be happy for him. To see what that man has gone through in the early days of Black and Gold, winning the North American Championship, getting called up to the main roster, not fitting the look of Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis, ultimately to get fired, to go to Japan and reinvent himself on the indies as Jonah, only to then come back to the WWE. Bronson Reed is looking like Triple H's best rehire to date. And it's very difficult to sit here and say, I hate this, I don't like this, he shouldn't belong there. That's you. That's you. Would I have done it? I would have maybe done a Survivor Series 5-on-5 match with a bunch of people from Raw on Bronson's team and on Seth Rollins' team. But putting them into this situation, I'm going to enjoy it, though it's not my first choice. And I'm going to just look at the situation that WWE's created and say, man, Bronson Reed is fucking killing it. They obviously have an agenda with Bronson Reed, and the agenda is to get this guy over as being the most dominant fucking guy in the entire company. And I thought he looked the best he's ever looked tonight. And he fit like a glove, being in there with Roman, being in there with Sammy, being in there with the Usos. He looked like a fucking savage. The portrayal of Bronson Reed has been fucking unbelievable. And I'm very happy for him. I'm a big fan of what he does. He is so good. He was good. And the way he's just materialized over the last 4 months, that's how stars are made. That's how stars are made. I'm hoping we get an explanation as to why he did what he did tonight. Hopefully that explanation comes on Monday, because I know something's going to happen on Monday to give us a little bit more insight as to why Solo Sikoa chose Bronson Reed as Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed go one-on-one. They taped Monday Night Raw this past Monday. It is a taped show this Monday. So whatever we saw, in theory, is ahead of what we see on Monday, because it was taped on Monday this past week. So we'll see what happens. Seth Rollins joining OG Bloodline. I am less enthused about that. The only reason why I'm less enthused about that is because, just like Cody, I made a mention when Cody teamed with Roman. Why would Cody want to team with Roman at Bad Blood? Cody has already acknowledged several times, already acknowledged that Roman is the real tribal chief. He knows Roman is the tribal chief, and he knew while feuding with Solo that Solo was nothing more than a cosplay pretender to the tribal chief throne. So Cody wanted to stand up for what is right. And he wanted to show his allegiance, his partnership with Roman Reigns. Even though Roman still eyes the WWE title, Roman is still a cocky son of a bitch. Even though he wants to come and reclaim the spot that Cody has right now at the top of SmackDown, he wants it all. It's the whole reason why he's battling his family in War Games. He wants it all back. It didn't make sense for Cody to team with Roman. Everybody questioned that. Why is Cody doing it? It's stupid. He don't have to do that anymore. He's got his own problems to worry about. It's Roman's problem now. Everything that Roman is fighting for, Roman caused. I said it then, and I'm going to say it with Rollins now. After everything that Rollins did with Cody, after everything Rollins did at WrestleMania to break his body, to save the bloodline and save WWE from a Roman Reigns 4-year title run, are we really looking at Seth Rollins teaming with Roman Reigns? I mean, does that fit the narrative? Does that make sense? He did everything in his power to stop Roman Reigns. He did everything in his power to end the reign of terror of Roman Reigns, to beat The Rock and end the bloodline. Mission accomplished. Cody won the championship. They celebrated. The bloodline was over. The power that Roman had over WWE, there were clouds and they dissipated at the end of WrestleMania. Blue skies and sun were finally shining through WWE. That was because of Seth Rollins. He told Cody he would be his shield in defense of the bloodline. Good. He did his job. Now for him to team with Roman Reigns, again, I get that Rollins and Bronson Reed are feuding. But with Bronson Reed feuding with Seth Rollins, is that enough? Is WWE going to be able to tell enough story for Rollins to say, you know what, I'm in? You're in for what? You're in because you want Bronson Reed? You're not in to battle alongside Roman Reigns because you give a shit about Solo Sikoa. You're not battling alongside Roman Reigns to end this family war. What the fuck does it have to do with you? Why do you care? That is a big logic gap, in my honest opinion. We have to wait and see what Monday night brings us on Raw. Maybe there's an explanation as to why he does team with Roman. But if Bronson Reed is in, all signs are pointing to Seth Rollins being in. Whether you like it or not, that's your War Games match. But Bronson Reed, outside of what you feel about them being shoehorned into this match, outside that, Bronson Reed looked fucking tremendous tonight. And I thought that was unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. But Rollins joining the OG bloodline, that is going to take some solid story in the next 2 weeks to make me believe that Rollins wants to willingly team with Roman Reigns and fight alongside him to end Solo Sikoa's bloodline 2.0. It's got to be more than, well, Bronson Reed's in this match. I want Bronson Reed, so I'm teaming with Roman Reigns. Is that enough to put all of your hatred aside for Roman Reigns, knowing who he is, to team with Roman Reigns just to get to Bronson Reed? I find that a little bit hard to believe. Now, I don't know what The Rock is going to do or possibly say here. And I want to bring something to your guys' attention. Roman Reigns is on a path of defying the High Chief. I don't know where WWE is going into WrestleMania. I don't. Right now, Roman Reigns is a babyface. And Roman Reigns, the problems that he started, the problems that he's facing right now, he is the one that caused all these problems. He's battling alongside family. It's number one. That's one problem right there. Then we come to Bad Blood, and he teams with the guy that The Rock had the biggest problem with going into WrestleMania. He teamed with Cody Rhodes. That's number two. And if Seth Rollins decides to join the bloodline, and he teams with Roman Reigns, or I should say if Roman teams with Rollins and asks Seth, please join me, that would be Roman teaming with Seth Rollins, the guy who was Cody's shield, the guy who was Cody's tag team partner on night one while Roman and Rock wrestled in the main event of WrestleMania night one in Philadelphia. That's three strikes and you're out. The Rock held up three at the end of Bad Blood. What was that? Did it mean anything as far as who was in the ring? It was Jimmy, it was Roman, it was Cody. Did that have anything to do with the amount of people in the ring? We don't know. But what I look at now is these three strikes, if we get all of this lining up and Rollins is going to team with Roman and Roman asks, it's three strikes and you're out. Was that a foreshadowing from Rock? You got one strike, two strikes, three strikes. That third strike, it happens, you're finished. And he gave the throat slash. Was that basically a warning sign to Roman that if he fucks up three times, then it's over? I don't know. But I did say from the early beginning, all the way back in March, I do think that The Rock has some part in this new bloodline forming. I think The Rock is the puppeteer, and I think he's pulling the strings. I think he's the puppet master in this entire thing. We may be looking at a Rock and Roman WrestleMania 41 match in Las Vegas, and we might not have to wait till WrestleMania 42. It looks like that's where they're going. But what I thought happened tonight with Bronson Reed, as far as what he did, his inclusion, the way he came off on television, he looked fucking tremendous tonight. Tremendous. And I'm very excited for him to see where this elevates him, because if he is going to shine like we all know he is, he's going to kill it. Roman Reigns at the end of the show picked up the phone after Jey Uso told him, make the call, make the call. Cliffhanger of the night. Everybody thought he was going to call Seth Rollins. Nope. He did not call Seth Rollins. Why would he call Seth Rollins? Nothing happened to Seth Rollins yet. We have to get to Monday and see what happens on Monday. He called Paul Heyman. And when he called Paul Heyman on his iPhone, the number was not in service anymore. Paul Heyman has changed his phone number and he has not been heard of or seen since. Since he got put through a table by Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu at Madison Square Garden earlier this year. He's been out all these months. How are we going to get Paul Heyman back involved? I figured it would be easy. Roman calls him up. He brings everybody back together. And we get Paul Heyman back as the wise man. Paul Heyman's got to be watching. Paul Heyman's got to know what's going on. I'm sure he's got social media. He doesn't need a cell phone to see what's going on. He knows what's going on. But he's changed his number. Why has he changed his number? You mean to tell me that Paul Heyman has not said anything to Roman Reigns? At all. It's unbelievable to even think that. But there's been no communication there, and that's what they went off the air with. Paul Heyman changed his number. His number was no longer in service, and Roman sat there in his locker room looking dejected. He looked as I do when I watch AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, just dejected and sad and depressed. What am I going to do now? That was the cliffhanger for the night. He didn't change his number. Solo smashed it. Might have been. You mean to tell me Paul Heyman can't get another cell phone? Solo destroyed his phone ages ago on SmackDown. I would tend to believe you guys, but to think that Paul Heyman has been without a cell phone for 4 months now, 5 months, I mean, I find that a little bit difficult to believe. Come on. I thought the cliffhanger was great. Street Profits, they wrestled the Motor City Machine Guns tonight. I was expecting a banger match. We were on our way to get a banger match. But man, oh man, did they put a stop to that pretty quickly with Tommaso Ciampa coming in and ruining it all. Profits showed some heel tendencies. We got Tommaso Ciampa probably returning to his roots of black and gold. He shoved Johnny Gargano down. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Also, we got a situation with the women's championship. And the tournament started tonight for the U.S. Women's Championship. We got a bunch of triple threat matches. And we got a finals that are going to be taking place at Saturday night's main event. So I'm excited about that. The brackets are pretty decent. I would say they look a little predictable if you ask me. But I'm excited to see who they crown the first United States Women's Champion. And Cody Rhodes cut a very impassioned promo to open SmackDown, which we will start off with. And it was the best that Cody Rhodes has sounded since WrestleMania season. So we'll get into all that tonight on Off the Script. This is your SmackDown post right here on OTS. Tonight sponsored by DraftKings. We are sponsored by DraftKings tonight. Make sure you guys download the app and use promo code JD from NY if you guys want to get in on all the fun for the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fights. Make sure you guys use that promo code JD from NY right here on Off the Script. We'll talk about my friends over at DraftKings a little bit later on in the show. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Go check out all the other content on the channel. There's plenty of it. Today we uploaded a video in regards to several top stories that broke in the last 24 hours. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful interviewed Kenny Omega and asked why he didn't return to AEW but opted to return to pro wrestling with New Japan Pro Wrestling. The answer he gave was ridiculous. And we called it out and we talk about it today on The Extra. Also, Speedball Mike Bailey is about to be signed by AEW. Don't know what difference he's going to make and why they need him over there, but they got a whole fucking roster that they don't know what to do with. Let's add Mike Bailey to the mix to get lost in the shuffle. AEW Collision was canceled. And WWE wanted Hammerstein Ballroom for themselves, but AEW blocked WWE's request for the Hammerstein Ballroom in December. All that and more today on Off the Script Extra. Go and check that out. Super chats are open. Get them on in. We'll hang out at the end of the show whenever this show ends. Thumbs up. Let's hit that thumbs up. Let's try for 750 likes today on Off the Script. And shout out to everybody on the Purple Snake Twitch. You guys are live on Twitch. Thank you guys very much. If you guys want to support via Twitch, always accepting new subscribers and new followers. So make sure you guys do the thing over there on Twitch. And shout out to everybody watching me over on Twitch. Let's get into this SmackDown show, man. We'll start off with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes opened the show, and Cody did mean business tonight. He meant business. Cody showed up. He made his entrance. He wasn't in his typical fancy suit. Instead, he was in sweatpants and a t-shirt. Cody looked angry and focused as footage from last week's pile driver angle was shown on Randy Orton, delivered by Kevin Owens. Cody said, "Kevin Owens, you have crossed the line," and then called for Owens to come to the ring. So he wants Kevin Owens out there. Nothing happened, so Cody yelled for Owens to come to the ring, and Nick Aldis came out instead, and he had a microphone. Aldis said he knew Cody was angry, and Aldis noted how Orton has severe cervical trauma. Aldis explained how and why the pile driver has been banned in WWE for so many years. Aldis said Owens crossed the line last week, and until things are figured out, Aldis cannot have Owens at SmackDown. Cody said Aldis was giving Owens what he wanted, and instead Aldis should let Cody handle Kevin Owens. Cody kept going on, and Aldis stopped Cody from talking. Aldis asked Cody if he thought it was about money, because he knew it wasn't about money. Aldis said if he gives the roster an inch, then they take a mile. Aldis said Owens cannot be at the shows until the situation is resolved internally. Cody questioned internally. Cody then asked Aldis to be real. Be real with me. And says he knows Aldis is a wrestler and a good man. You're a pro wrestler right now. You're still a pro wrestler. Cody asked if Aldis, if he was the one in the ambulance with Orton, how Aldis would react. Cody referenced his celebration at WrestleMania 40, saying it was the highlight of his career, professionally and personally. And how Orton told Cody he was proud of him, and it was a moment he'd cherish forever. Cody noted how it bothers him. Owens is saying Orton's injury is because of Cody. So Cody says if he can't handle his business in a WWE ring, he wondered what Aldis expected Cody to do. Cody told Aulis the ball is in his court and Cody won't be waiting long at all. I thought Cody showed great fire here. This was probably the most angry that we've seen Cody since WrestleMania season, where for most of WrestleMania season, he was treated like a pushover and a chump. There was one promo in the middle of WrestleMania season where he really started to raise his voice at Rock. I think that's when he dragged his mother into the entire thing. Rock did. Cody showed some good fire there. Felt a little forced. Felt a little manufactured then. I felt this was a lot better. I thought he showed a lot more fire here. And Randy Orton called him the Code Man. Cody says he hates the nickname Code Man. But when Randy Orton said Code Man, he felt it. And Randy Orton is one of his best allies. The reason why all of this is happening is because of Cody Rhodes. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you spin it, no matter whose side you're on, Cody Rhodes is to blame here. Everything that has happened is Cody's fault. Kevin Owens would not be angry the way that he is right now if Cody never teamed with Roman Reigns, because they were a threesome. They were a trifecta. They were a team. They were a team to battle the bloodline. They were a team that came together for the common good. They got rid of Roman. Well, Cody got rid of Roman with Seth. And Kevin Owens has been battling the bloodline for the last 4.5 years. But they've been battling Solo Sikoa's bloodline. Cody Rhodes teamed with Roman Reigns at Bad Blood, and it triggered Kevin Owens to a point where it's not repairable anymore. He cannot watch any longer. With Cody Rhodes teaming with Roman Reigns, it just set Kevin Owens off. If Cody never teamed with Roman Reigns, I don't think we'd see Kevin Owens in the mental state that he's in right now, and Randy Orton wouldn't have been pile-driven on Friday Night SmackDown last week with cervical injuries. It's all due to Cody. Now, how does that further the storyline? Is Randy Orton going to wake up and realize that he wants to get back at Kevin Owens? Probably. He's the one who put him out. But at some point in this story, when Randy Orton takes care of what he's got to do with Kevin Owens, Randy Orton is going to wake up. Randy Orton is going to realize that everything I told you just now, Randy Orton is going to realize that all of this has happened and all of this is a snowball effect because of Cody Rhodes. Cody teamed with Roman. Kevin Owens got mad at Cody. Kevin Owens beat up Cody. Kevin Owens beat up Randy. Kevin Owens is angry. He wants revenge. He feels he's right. Nobody wants to listen to him. Cody's in the wrong. I am right. He's even got a t-shirt that says Kevin is right. And then he pile drives Randy Orton. You don't think Randy Orton's going to realize that the one common denominator here, the one issue, the one problem here is Cody? He is. Good guy Cody is underlying villain in this entire story. It's the truth. It's the truth. I thought this was very good. Cody showed a lot of great fire here. And being that we got Bronson Reed and more than likely Seth Rollins in the War Games situation and not Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, one has to assume that over the next 2 weeks, they invited Kevin Owens to SmackDown, or at least Cody invited Kevin Owens to SmackDown next week. One would have to assume that this match is not going to be a sanctioned match. It's not. It's not going to be a sanctioned match. Nobody's going to give Kevin Owens a championship match. Nobody's going to reward Kevin Owens for beating up Randy Orton and putting him on a fucking stretcher and him loaded into an ambulance on his way to the hospital. Nobody should reward Kevin Owens with a fucking championship match. Not management, not Aldis, not Triple H. And Cody Rhodes should not give Kevin Owens a championship match. He doesn't deserve it. So with them not being on the War Games teams, it now opens it up for Survivor Series, where Kevin Owens will go one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. And this will be a second match for the two. They wrestled in Saudi Arabia, I believe, the last time they were in Saudi. They will wrestle a second time. And they will... Now, when did they wrestle? Did they wrestle Saudi? Or was it internationally somewhere, UK or Scotland? I don't really know. Someone fill me in there. But I know they did wrestle on pay-per-view in a main event. Was it France? One or the other. I don't know. I do know they wrestled, though. This will be a second match. I would not make this a WWE Championship match. I would not. I would take this from Survivor Series and do a blow-off third match at Saturday night's Berlin. Bash in Berlin. There you go, Germany. That was a great match. Very good match. So this will be the second match in a line of three matches. This should not be for the WWE title. Not sanctioned. Lights out, whatever you want to call it. No WWE title on the line. But if we're going to book the match and the title's not on the line, Kevin Owens should absolutely beat Cody Rhodes. Cody beat Gunther. Cody beat Gunther at Crown Jewel. Someone who has been absolutely untouchable. Cody should return the favor for the greater good for the story. And if Kevin Owens beat him in a non-title match at Survivor Series, lights out, unsanctioned, no rules, Kevin Owens wins and beats Cody Rhodes at Survivor Series, ultimately landing a third match for the WWE title at Saturday night's main event. And that is your main event on NBC. That's what I'm going with. But I do think now with Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins factored into the War Games situation, we now have the other main event for Survivor Series, which will be Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. On top of that, we got Gunther and Damian Priest for the World's Heavyweight Championship. I'm assuming there will be a Survivor Series match with the Final Testament and the Wyatt Six. What else WWE is going to add to that, I don't know. But that's what I would do. I like it. We'll see what happens. Backstage, Jimmy Uso was walking and ran into Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. Jimmy said Roman Reigns was on the way to the arena and he wants everyone to meet in the same room together to talk. Zayn said there was someone he could ask when it came to being a fifth member at War Games. Zayn told the Usos, I'm going to go do what I got to do. I'm going to talk to this guy. And I'll catch you later. Who was it? It was LA Knight. And no, LA Knight is not joining War Games. Women's United States Championship match or tournament to determine who gets a shot at the United States Championship. And this match consisted of Candice LeRae, Bayley, and B-Fab. Yes, B-Fab was in this thing, and I'm going to read the brackets to you right now as WWE posted it on their social media. We got B-Fab, Candice LeRae, and Bayley tonight. Then we got Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. So we got triple threat matches. We got four triple threat matches, and the winners of every triple threat match in this tournament will go to the semifinals in a one-on-one match against the winner of the other triple threat match in their tournament bracket. So Bayley, Candice LeRae, B-Fab, Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. That's on one side. That's on the left side of the bracket. So Bayley won tonight. I'm assuming Bianca Belair is going to win her side, and we're going to get Bayley versus Bianca Belair, who seemingly have an issue going back to their damage control days. On the other side, we got Jade Cargill, Meechin, who a lot of people are pushing for to actually win the United States Championship, and Piper Niven. It is safe to say that Jade Cargill could get the victory there, but Meechin is the dark horse. But I'm going with Jade Cargill. Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and Electra Lopez. Naomi had a women's championship match tonight, and she wrestled Nia Jax for that championship, but also is in the United States championship tournament. So it's interesting to see that she's got two opportunities here. Opportunity tonight to win the women's championship. She obviously didn't do that, and now she's got an opportunity at the United States championship. So the way that things are shaping up here, Bayley, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. That's what I'm going with. Tiffany Stratton's not winning. She's got money in the bank, and she's going to cash in and become the women's champion eventually. She doesn't need the United States championship. Electra Lopez is certainly in that match to take the pinfall. Whoever it is, it's probably going to be Naomi beating both Stratton and Electra Lopez. This could go either one of two ways. One, we get Jade and Bianca as tag team champions wrestling each other on Saturday night's main event, which is probably the heavy favorite to be the finals of this tournament. Or something that I would like to see instead of that, Bayley versus Naomi, with Naomi winning the United States Championship. I don't see why Jade and Bianca need to wrestle for the United States Championship when they've been tasked with being the tag team champions. I don't know why that would make sense right now, unless you are going to give them, or one of them, I should say, the United States Championship, and then have the split happen over the United States Championship because one won it and the other did not. I don't know. I see a lot of people pulling for Chelsea Green. I see a lot of people pulling for Meechan. My question is, I thought WWE said that all women were involved in this thing. Women from Raw and women from SmackDown. Meanwhile, we got nothing but women from SmackDown in this tournament. Now, does that mean that when this tournament's over, it will float between SmackDown and Monday Night Raw? Or is it simply a SmackDown title, and they're going to crown a winner here first, and then come 2025, in the first quarter of 2025, we will get a women's intercontinental title. And they're just waiting for everybody to get back healthy. Because Asuka's out, Rhea is out, Becky is out. I mean, you can't have a division with three studs like that out of your division due to injury. So it's either going to be Jade and Bianca, or it's going to be Naomi and Bayley. So pick your poison. But I genuinely thought that this was going to be a Raw and SmackDown women's championship. I thought one bracket would be from SmackDown and one bracket would be from Raw. And then come Saturday night's main event, it would be someone from Raw versus someone from SmackDown to crown the first ever United States champion. I know they said all women will be involved. Maybe they meant all women from SmackDown, but I could have swore that it was going to be all women in the company. Maybe WWE changed the rules. Maybe WWE is going to introduce an Intercontinental Championship very soon thereafter this tournament is over. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Bayley, Naomi is my pick, but I could absolutely see them go Jade and Bianca on NBC for Saturday night's main event. Bayley wins the first round match against Candice LeRae and B-Fab. I was surprised B-Fab was even in this thing, and she usually is a manager for the Street Profits, and I thought that B-Fab was going to be a lost puppy in there, man, but I gotta be honest with you, man. Even though she looked a little rough around the edges, she did her job well. She knew what she was doing in there. She didn't look too bad. The last time I saw B-Fab, she was not very good at all, and that may have been during the 2.0 NXT era. But man, she did not look bad at all in there. And I don't know how you could look bad when you got Bayley and Candice LeRae basically carrying most of the load in the opening match. I thought everything worked well for her, honestly. And I thought she did her part. So they did get her over. Even though she was never going to win this match, they clearly wanted to showcase her in some meaningful way. They put her in this tournament. They put her in this match with both Candice and Bayley, and it looked like she got herself a little bit over, man. She's now an active in-ring performer for the WWE in the women's division. No longer just a manager. So LeRae dropkicked Bayley's knee. That took Bayley to the outside. B-Fab then slammed and clotheslined LeRae for a two count. B-Fab kicked LeRae. Bayley got back into the mix. The show went to a commercial break. B-Fab double clothesline Bayley and LeRae. And right after the commercial break, Bayley was working over B-Fab, complete with a big elbow to the back of B-Fab's neck off the second turnbuckle. Bayley goes for cover. She gets a two count, but the pinfall was broken up by Candice LeRae. The women trade blows back and forth. Bayley and B-Fab teamed up on LeRae until LeRae clotheslined both Bayley and B-Fab, and everybody was down, triple down. LeRae went for the top rope. B-Fab cut her off. LeRae fought B-Fab off, but Bayley was able to get the upper hand on LeRae. B-Fab got up there and involved in a Tower of Doom spot, which looked great. Now, the Tower of Doom spot, B-Fab was underneath. She was looking for the powerbomb spot in this, while Bayley was suplexing Candice LeRae off the top. But the thing is, Candice LeRae turned the vertical suplex off the top rope into a crossbody, landing on Bayley and pinning Bayley 1-2, and B-Fab had the wherewithal to break up the pinfall right in that same sequence. That was very, very good. So, B-Fab slammed LeRae for a two count with a nice looking, it looked like almost a Uranage of sorts. Bayley came back into the match where she ran into an inverted neck breaker from B-Fab. She goes for cover on Bayley. She gets a two count as B-Fab. Bayley came back with a Bayley to belly on B-Fab, but LeRae comes back in, throws Bayley to the outside, goes to cover B-Fab, almost stole a win. B-Fab kicks out. LeRae went for a moonsault. B-Fab moved. B-Fab then slammed Bayley and kicked LeRae to the outside. B-Fab went for another kick on Bayley, but Bayley rolled her up and got the shock. 1-2-3 as Bayley advances to the semifinals of the Women's United States Championship Tournament. She will wrestle the winner of Bianca Belair, Chelsea Green, and Blair Davenport. Bianca Belair is going to advance to wrestle Bayley one-on-one. I thought this was very good. I was surprised to see the tournament start in this fashion. I kind of had a feeling that Triple H was going to do his... He loves his triple threat tournaments, does Triple H. He loves to get everybody involved. I don't really mind it. It's a different way for WWE to do these things. But I kind of figured that he would do the triple threat tournament style that he's usually known for. Four triple threat matches, then we get one-on-one semifinals, and then one-on-one in the finals. So shaping up to be a very fun tournament for the first ever Women's United States Championship Tournament. And the finals will take place at Saturday night's main event on Long Island, Nassau Coliseum, December 14th. That is going to be a major, major show for WWE. We're looking at Netflix here just to see what's going on. I believe the Tyson fight is coming up. They got some vignettes and everybody's watching. So we got some coming attractions here. It looks like this is coming up next. So we'll try and get through another segment or two and then we'll flip over to the Tyson and Jake Paul watch along here live on YouTube and on Twitch. Sami Zayn was shown talking to LA Knight backstage. We couldn't hear what they were saying, and Knight ended up walking away from Sami Zayn. He wanted nothing to do with Roman Reigns, nothing to do with the bloodline, and nothing to do with War Games. B-Fab, she was shown backstage. She was walking after losing this triple threat match to Bayley. And Chelsea Green, Piper Niven walked up to her. Green said, when her and Niven are the first ever Women's United States Champion, Maybe B-Fab would get a match and maybe she'll hold that title someday. B-Fab said that the two of them couldn't hold the title at the same time and Meechin walked into frame with a kendo stick over her shoulder. Green and Niven were scared and then they quickly left after seeing Meechin. So the situation between Chelsea Green and Meechin is not over yet. after that dumpster match that they had. Chat saying that they'll stall for another 30 minutes or so. That goes in line with what I heard today, that they probably won't hit the ring till 12 midnight, 12:15 the latest. So we will keep an eye on that, and we will just keep the train rolling here on the SmackDown Post Show. I knew it was going to be a low-key night, man. Everybody's watching this fight tonight, so it is going to be something to behold. Mike Tyson in the ring tonight. I'm going with Tyson, but I do think that Jake Paul is going to win. I, for one, think boxing is rigged, honestly. I think most major sports are, at some point, rigged. I just can't see Mike Tyson beating Jake Paul being good for the sport of boxing. I can't. Isn't Jake Paul like the biggest name in boxing right now? Why would the boxing commission, why would anybody want Mike Tyson to beat the face of boxing right now? That's just the way that I see it. I don't know. LA Knight, he made his entrance. He had a microphone. Everybody obviously loves LA Knight. Let me talk to you. Yeah. Knight said everyone is looking for his U.S. title. Knight said Zayn asked him to join the Bloodline Civil War. Knight said it wasn't his fight and he doesn't need it or want it. There you go. At least he's open and honest with you. Knight said if the Bloodline just destroyed each other, he'd be fine with that. Knight said he wasn't going to defend his belt two times a year like Logan Paul. And instead he called to action the United States Open Challenge. Santos Escobar walked out and he walked out with the rest of Legado del Fantasma. Escobar grabbed the microphone and asked LA Knight why he couldn't say something cool or something interesting. Escobar told the crowd it sounded like they were from a different planet. Escobar said it should be Escobar C. Escobar says it's time for someone to shut LA Knight up. He then said Electra Lopez is going to bring the United States Women's Championship to Legado del Fantasma. Escobar wants to do the same for the men. I like where he's going with that. Knight says he already beat Escobar, so he could give Berto a shot. Berto attacked Knight, and we go to commercial break, and we got an open challenge here with LA Knight and Berto, Humberto Carrillo, for the United States Championship. Match was fine. Match was fine. Berto sold for LA Knight. Most of this took place in the commercial break. We got about 3 minutes of TV time here. Berto was in control overnight. He went for his leaping to the top rope spot. And LA Knight, usually, he is very 50-50 with this maneuver. He actually hit it. So he jumps up there. He hits his big spot off the top rope. And he is doing good tonight. The developments here was Berto pushing Knight off the top and eventually worked an abdominal stretch. Knight fought his way out of it, clotheslined Berto over the top and out to the floor. Knight then repeatedly slammed Humberto off the commentary table. He then rolled him back into the ring. He landed a DDT for a two count. Humberto came back with a roll-up and a big kick and dragged LA Knight to the corner. He went for a moonsault. Knight got a leg up to block the moonsault. LA Knight followed up with a big pop-up slam. Berto moved when Knight went for an elbow. Berto was perched on the top rope with LA Knight. He set up for a superplex, but LA Knight fought Berto off and landed his top rope elbow drop. He then picks him up, hits the BFT for the 1-2-3, and he retains the United States Championship. I think open challenges are lame. I think we have become desensitized to the open challenge. I'm here to tell you, and every single time we see an open challenge, that they are creatively lazy. I just find them to be fucking lazy. And we see them way too often, especially on the AEW side. We see them less on the WWE side because they have some sort of plan for whoever the champion is instead of doing an open challenge. Sometimes those plans really aren't that interesting. And LA Knight's run as United States champion has not really been all that interesting. Just going to be honest with you. Carmelo Hayes and Andrade, they have had some great matches on SmackDown. I thought what they did in the triple threat match at Crown Jewel was really good stuff. But coming out of that, it looked like LA Knight didn't really have a direction. Until Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura emerges. He returns. He appeared out of nowhere. And he blasted LA Knight with a Kinshasa and took the champion out. Nakamura was back. He's still playing his heel character since the last time we saw him go away. He had a black robe, black attire on, and he had this red war paint down his eyes. And he looked pretty fucking vicious, man, I gotta tell you. I'm not the biggest Shinsuke Nakamura fan because I do think that WWE really gave him the perception of a loser. I do feel that Nakamura, all that appeal, all that special attraction that Nakamura was, it went away, man. Over years and years and years of neglect in WWE, never to be taken seriously, it's very difficult to believe in Shinsuke Nakamura. Are you guys going to believe in a Shinsuke Nakamura now that he's back on SmackDown? Now that he looks a little bit more vicious than the last time we saw him, now going after the United States Championship. Sure, I think there are a nice core group of people that want to see Nakamura maybe win the United States Championship and maybe get back to his winning ways. I just don't see Nakamura being the one to end LA Knight's United States Championship reign. And here I am thinking Nakamura's back on TV to just propel LA Knight in this feud before we go into Royal Rumble season. Hey, let's call Shinsuke up. We can give him a loss and then move LA Knight on to whoever we got to move him on to at the beginning of the year. That's the way I feel. I don't know. But outside that, he looked great. I thought he looked really, really good. The Usos, they were talking backstage and Sami Zayn approached them saying it wasn't looking good to finding a partner. So all of a sudden, they walk into Roman Reigns' dressing room. We go to a commercial break. We come back from the break. They're standing in the locker room and in walks Roman Reigns. So Sami Zayn was unfortunately the one that had to deal the bad news to Roman Reigns. Zayn says they've been on Raw, they've been on SmackDown, and there is nobody who wants to work with the Bloodline. JX Roman, if he made the call, Solo Sikoa's music hit, and Solo and the Bloodline made their way out to the ring. Roman stood up and left the dressing room. There was this cool shot with Roman sitting in the chair before he got up. He turned and looked at the TV in his dressing room, and he was watching Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline make their way out to the ring, and he had this really angry facial expression as he was turning his head and watching the TV. That was a great shot. He eventually got up, and he left. Zayn and the Usos followed him, and one would assume they were going out to the ringside area to confront Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline. Solo told Milwaukee to acknowledge him. The crowd booed Solo Sikoa. So that's basically all Solo said. After that Roman Reigns music hit, he walked out with Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy. They get into fighting position. They jump onto the apron. They get into the ring. And then the next thing you know, all eight guys, both teams, are brawling in the middle of the ring. So Jay hits a dive onto most of Solo's Bloodline. Fatu out there. He super kicked both Usos. He gave Zayn to Solo and set up for the Samoan Spike. But Roman Reigns speared Solo Sikoa, saving Sami Zayn just like Sami saved him last week. Zayn then landed a dive onto everybody except Fatu. And we were alone in the ring with Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu, and the crowd wanted it. There was just an audible buzz when these two were meeting face-to-face, right? This is like the second time this has happened now. This audible buzz. People were chanting, OTC, OTC. Fatu distracted Roman, and Bronson Reed from behind showed up to take down Roman. Reed and Fatu stared at each other, and Reed landed a splash on Roman. Fatu followed that up with a hip attack on Roman. Jay, Jimmy, and Zayn tried to fight back against Reed and Fatu, but Solo's bloodline were too much. Fatu landed a moonsault on Zayn, and Reed hit a tsunami on Jimmy. Roman on the outside of the ring took out Tongaloa. Reigns hits a series of Superman punches on everyone until Solo hits a Samoan spike on Reigns. Fatu followed up with the mighty moonsault. Reed followed that up with a tsunami on Roman Reigns. Finally, officials, agents, producers out there to break things up. They all left the ring, did bloodline, and they stood tall in the aisleway, admiring the work that they have done. And Bronson Reed stood tall with Solo's bloodline. I am not a fan of them weaving this Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins storyline into the bloodline. But I can't sit here and deny that what Bronson Reed did tonight and the way that he came off was fucking fantastic. I am, and always have been, somebody that puts logic first before anything. Yes, I asked for Cody, and yes, I asked for Kevin Owens. If you wanted me to make a decision, I would have kept it 4-on-4. That's just what I would have done. Roman, Sammy, and the Usos versus Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, and the Tongans. I would have just kept it 4-on-4. There is no need for outside, you know, influence to the bloodline. There isn't. But here we are adding Bronson Reed tonight, who is undoubtedly a part of the bloodline now, at least for War Games. He looked the part. He's part Samoan. He looked like a fucking monster. He looked like a bulldozer out there. He looked so dominating standing next to Jacob Fatu. He actually dwarfed Jacob Fatu. He was more menacing than Jacob Fatu was. That's how great Bronson Reed is. But the way that I look at it is there's just too much for me to ignore when it comes to Rollins and Roman. And Rollins being on Roman's team because Bronson Reed is in this thing. Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins have their own thing. You don't need to shoehorn them into the bloodline story for them to tell their story, for them to finish their story. I can't believe Seth Rollins, no matter what they do, I can't believe Seth Rollins would want to team with Roman Reigns after everything Roman has done. After everything Seth Rollins stood for. Everything Seth Rollins said on the road to WrestleMania. I can't think of any explanation, and I don't think WWE's got a good one, to make me believe that Rollins wants to team with Roman Reigns simply because Bronson Reed is on the other team. There is just too much hatred there. Too much. I can't believe it. But I can't deny how great Bronson Reed looked. Good for him. He was North American champion in NXT. They called him up to the main roster to get a look. After three dark matches, they fired him. He left the WWE. Did his thing on the indies, beat Okada in New Japan, wrestled under the name of Jonah. WWE Triple H hired him back. He was one of those rehires. It wasn't looking good. He felt lost in the shuffle. And Triple H has done an absolute masterful job of building Bronson Reed up over the last 4 months. But does WWE have an explanation to make us believe that everything Rollins has been through with the bloodline, backing Cody, will it make sense for Rollins to team with Roman? Will it make enough sense for him to team with Roman simply because Bronson Reed is on the other team? We'll see. I don't know. But it looks like the War Games match is basically all but set. We just need to see what happens and what transpires on Monday night. Kevin Owens posted a video on social media and Michael Cole threw it to Owens. We played the video that he posted on social media. Owens says he got to the arena tonight and he was turned away for what he did to Orton last week. Owens says it was messed up because all he did was show up when Orton told him to show up. Owens says he got the call from Aldis asking Owens to be at next week's SmackDown in Salt Lake City. Owens says he shouldn't show up, but he will, and he will do so for himself. Owens says, when he shows up, I want you all to know, just like what I did to Randy Orton, I will just be doing my job. His job is to show everybody how right he's been. He's right. He feels he was wronged by Cody Rhodes. He feels like he was wronged by Randy Orton. He's just doing what's right. He's doing his job. Like I said in the beginning, Kevin Owens may be operating as a rogue heel. He may be going into business for himself. But at the end of the day, is Kevin Owens wrong? No, Kevin Owens is not wrong. When you look at all that has transpired here, who is the core problem? Why did everything happen the way that it did? Because of Cody Rhodes. Randy Orton will wake up, he will leave the hospital, and he will eventually see that Cody is the problem. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do with Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes next week. I do think that this will be some sort of unsanctioned match at Survivor Series. No title needs to be on the line. That would be stupid for Cody Rhodes to put the WWE title on the line against a volatile and reckless Kevin Owens. No. Cody Rhodes beat Gunther at Crown Jewel. He beat Gunther at Crown Jewel. The unbeatable Gunther, who's been as protected as anybody, maybe in WWE history. Cody can take a loss to Kevin Owens at Survivor Series to set up Saturday night's main event. That's my prediction. Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin against the Street Profits, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. I was expecting a little bit more coming out of this. The Motor City Machine Guns, 21 days as WWE Tag Team Champions. They beat the Bloodline. They just got here. Whether you like the situation, the creative or not, it is what it is. The WWE Tag Team Division right now needs some serious help. Motor City Machine Guns are probably the best case to be holding those tag team titles. They're a great team. And I'm glad that they are here. I've heard nothing but great things from people about how they feel about the Motor City Machine Guns being in WWE. The reports came in saying that the locker room absolutely loves them. They've been unbelievable backstage. Good for them. They are two great dudes. The Profits, they've honestly got lost in the shuffle. A lot of teams passed them by. They have basically done everything that this tag team division has to offer. NXT tag team titles, SmackDown tag team titles, Raw tag team titles. I mean, they've won everything. The one thing that people want is for Montez Ford to go solo and for him to be a breakout guy. What that does to Angelo Dawkins, I don't want to know. It is very difficult to break somebody away like Montez Ford from Angelo Dawkins when he is the clear-cut breadwinner there, and Angelo Dawkins may be the one who suffers the most if they do split up the team. And splitting up tag teams right now should be the least of WWE's concerns. Should not be done. Everybody thought that the Profits were going into this match, and they might also be on their way out of WWE after a recent report from Fightful Select where Sean Ross Sapp stated that their contracts are potentially coming due at the end of the year. And there's no word on if they signed a new deal or if a new deal has been discussed. So a lot of people were potentially looking at this as maybe their send-off. Maybe their way out of WWE. I knew the Motor City Machine Guns were not going to lose the titles 21 days after winning them. That would be ridiculous. So what did WWE do here? Ford and Sabin started the match. Ford looked for a series of moves and worked like a heel here. Both him and Dawkins worked as a heel team. They showed this aggression, this anger towards the machine guns. Saban, it's a pair of arm drags. Shelley tagged in. The two hit a series of double team moves, but they were good enough for only a couple of one counts. Ford fired up and hit a strong clothesline. Shelley rolled to the outside, and Dawkins shoulder blocked Shelley over the commentary table, which looked ridiculous. And the show went to a commercial break. The show returned, and Shelley continued to be on the defensive. Quickly, Saban received the hot tag. Saban took out both Montez and Angelo Dawkins. Action goes to the outside. The machine guns tried their hardest to get the crowd, get into this match, fire up the crowd. Back inside the ring, Shelley planted Ford. After Saban dropkicked Ford in the back of the head, Saban tagged back in, and the Profits regained control, set up for their finish, which is basically the Avalanche blockbuster off the top rope, which is old LAX finishing move, Santana and Ortiz. They called that move the street sweeper. That is their old finishing move. Ford on the top rope. All of a sudden, Tommaso Ciampa shows up. And he attacked the Street Profits. Gargano showed up. He tried to pull Ciampa away from everybody. Ciampa yelling at everybody in the ring. Looks at Johnny. Shoves Johnny down to the ground and leaves. After shoving his best friend down to the mat. Screaming, I want those tag team championships. Those are my tag team. Those tag team championships are mine. I want them. I want them. I want them. So it looks like Tommaso Ciampa may be going black and gold. Sicilian psychopath. Tommaso Ciampa has not looked this interesting in maybe all of his WWE main roster run. I'm excited to see where this goes. After all of this, Motor City Machine Guns are trying to tell the Street Profits, not our fault. Don't worry about it. We'll give you guys a rematch. This is not our fault. We didn't ask for this. Profits and Machine Guns get face-to-face, and the Profits shove the Motor City Machine Guns away. Dawkins punched Shelley in the face, and they angrily left the ring after this match was over. Are the Profits going heel? Certainly looked like it to me. Is Ciampa about to betray his best friend? Certainly looks like it to me. Are we adding another tag team to the division if we're breaking up DIY? The men's side is getting two solid in-ring singles performers. The tag team is going to be without a great tag team. A tag team that has not been over. This is definitely going to get them where they need to be. But my question is, who do you replace DIY with? Are you calling somebody up? What tag teams are in NXT that you even want to see on the main roster? The only team I can think of is Nathan Frazier and Fraxium. I think they fit like a fucking glove on SmackDown. We'll see what happens. But Tommaso Ciampa going heel, man, I am super excited to see what they do with him and if this leads to anything relatively close to what he did in the old NXT Black and Gold. Naomi was shown in the back and Bayley showed up. Naomi congratulated Bayley on her win earlier in the night. Bayley told Naomi she can't trust Io Sky. And Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair walked in. Bianca is still unhappy with Bayley after all these months. And she made it a point to remind everyone of that. Cargill told Naomi that if anyone interferes, Cargill and Belair have Naomi's back. There you go. Nia Jax and Naomi, main event for the Women's Championship. I thought this was a solid effort for Nia Jax. And Naomi continues to shine in one-on-one matches when it matters most. When is everybody going to start recognizing? When is everybody going to start giving Naomi her flowers on Friday Night SmackDown? She's great. And she continues to prove herself every single time. Every time. Nia Jax had control early. Kind of toyed with Naomi on and off. Swinging her around, landing a splash in the corner. Jax went for an elbow. Naomi moved and followed that up with a kick to the head. Naomi then hit her split-legged leg drop. Jax clotheslined Naomi and threw Naomi to the outside. Naomi executed a sunset flip, but Nia Jax came right back with a clothesline and a one count. Jax then worked over a chin lock. Jax missed a strike, and Naomi briefly tried to come back, but Naomi ran into an elbow from Nia Jax, who then smashed Naomi's head into the mat. Nia Jax then wildly lifted Naomi and hit what looked to be a very nasty headbutt. Naomi popped back up, got Jax to the outside. Naomi hit a suicide dive, and we go into a commercial break. Comes back from break. The show is in Nia Jax control. Jax took down Naomi for a two count. She landed a headbutt to Naomi's back. Jax then worked a single leg crab. She went for a power bomb, but Naomi turned it into a destroyer for a two count. Naomi then hit, then kicked Jax in the head and hit a crossbody from the second rope. Naomi followed with an enziguri. Naomi hit the rear view out of nowhere, but it resulted in only a two count. Naomi then ran at Jax. She meant to deliver, I believe, a big offensive move here, but she ran into a pop-up Samoan drop from Jax. It looked like Naomi was maybe attempting a cross-body block. Jax set up Naomi for her finish, but Naomi stood up and dumped Jax to the floor. Naomi then hits a cross-body block on Jax to the outside. Backstage, we see Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez attacking Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. They're laid out. We go back to the ring. Tiffany Stratton is out there. She runs out. She attacks Naomi while the referee's checking on Nia Jax. Jax went to the second rope, but Naomi cut her off. Jax went for a big body slam off the top, and Naomi countered it into, I don't even know what the fuck you call it. It looked like a rock bottom of sorts off the top rope. Or a kind of twisting Spanish fly that wasn't really a Spanish fly off the top rope. Got a near fall. This is where the match really started to pick up and the audience was really getting audibly loud for everything these ladies were doing. Bayley ran out. She attacked Stratton. Naomi rolled up Jax for a good near fall. Naomi ran Jax into the ring post. Hit a split-legged moonsault on Jax for a very good near fall. Naomi went to the top. Candice LeRae came out, attacked Bayley. As a result, this distracted Naomi. Jax hits a Samoan drop, followed that up with the Annihilator, and she retains the title by beating Naomi 1-2-3. After the match, Stratton, LeRae, and Jax stood tall. Shoot cut to Reigns in the dressing room, like I mentioned before, had a cell phone call, the wise man. A response said, "The number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording. The number you have reached is not in service." Roman dropped his phone as the dial tone rang, and Roman looked very upset as the show went off the air. So clearly you see WWE, A, Naomi looked great. B, Nia was very decent in this match. Nia is so hot and cold. She wants to work with people she wants to work with, and then some matches she has, they're just egregious and offensive. Not good. Tonight was not one of those nights. Tonight was a very good match. And Naomi deserves a lot of praise for what she continues to do. That's why I would not put it past WWE to potentially put the Women's Championship on Naomi, the United States Women's Championship on Naomi, to crown her the first United States champion. If there is somebody that title is made for, it is made for someone like Naomi. Point blank, period. But you see where they're going with this. Nia, Candice, Tiffany. This is your War Games. Liv and Raquel are back there. That's Team Liv right there. That is Team Liv for Survivor Series, War Games. Then on the other team, you obviously got Naomi, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley will be a part of that, and Io Sky. That's your Women's War Games. And that's the way SmackDown went off the air. I thought SmackDown was a very good show, especially that last hour. I thought they fucking killed it, man. It felt like a completely different show in the second hour. But that first hour, minus the Cody Rhodes promo, I thought was typical SmackDown. In the second hour, I thought they really put the gasoline on the fire, man. They really nailed that second hour. It was a really, really good show tonight. And I hope SmackDown can keep that momentum going into Survivor Series. I hope Monday Night Raw could keep that momentum coming into Survivor Series. And hopefully Survivor Series delivers, man. Right now, a lot of people aren't really feeling it. But I think with Bronson Reed having a standout performance tonight, Seth Rollins being added, Cody and Kevin Owens, I think things are taking shape for Survivor Series. A little bit longer than I anticipated, but you start to see the puzzle forming for Survivor Series, and I'm sure it will be a very newsworthy evening on November 30th. Guys, before we get into the situation with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, who right now Jake Paul is making his entrance out to the ring, I want to cut to my sponsor for tonight's show. Tonight we are proudly sponsored by my friends over at DraftKings, DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you guys download the app and use that promo code JD from NY. Bet $5 on anything and get $200 back in bonus bets. Tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at DraftKings. All right, fight fans, we got an absolutely insane matchup between one of the GOATs in the sport and a new rival on the scene. This Tyson-Paul fight is going to be electric. And I want to know who you guys think is going to come out victorious. If you're looking to get even closer to the action, you got to check out my partners over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And right now, all new customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Now that is a reason to celebrate this season. All you got to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use that promo code JD from NY. The crown is yours. Let me tell you something, man. This Tyson-Paul fight is heavily anticipated, and I, for one, am very excited. You guys know I love Mauro Ranallo. He just signed on to be a part of the broadcast team to call this fight, so you know it's going to be epic. And how could you make it even more epic? DraftKings Sportsbook. All new customers who use my promo code JD from NY and bet just $5 on any wager will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. And if sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry. DraftKings is the one-stop shop for all things daily fantasy, where you guys can join in on all the fun and have a shot to win cash prizes. You guys have all the ingredients for a perfect recipe. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, Mauro Ranallo on commentary, and DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now, and all new customers who bet just $5 on any wager will get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you use my promo code JD from NY. Once again, that is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use that promo code JD from NY, bet $5 on any wager, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook. We got a couple of super chats to read through. First, I want to thank everybody for hanging with me tonight. It wasn't too long at all, man. Wasn't too long at all. Tonight, we're sponsored by DraftKings. Make sure you guys go check out DraftKings. Download the app. Use my promo code JD from NY. $5 on anything. Bet $5 on anything and get $200 back in bonus bets. Shout out to everybody watching me on Twitch. Appreciate you guys very much. We got a couple of new subscriptions, a couple of new followers over there. We're on our way to 11,100 followers on the Purple Snake. And make sure you guys go check out all the content on the channel. There's plenty of content this week. Raw, Tuesday night, Titans with the Solemn Monster. Wednesday night, great stream with Jesse. We got a couple of videos thrown in there, especially one today, a big one today. Go check that out. All on the homepage. Let's get through these super chats, and then I can hop on some Black Ops 3. Not Black Ops. Black Ops, I wish. Black Ops 6. Joseph Taylor with a 4 in super chat. I would be shocked if the Profits left WWE for AEW. They're not going nowhere. They're not going nowhere. Profits versus Grizzled Young Veterans would be a banger of a match. It would. It would. What an awful boxing match, man. This is why I don't watch any of these sports, man. It's all rigged fucking hokey garbage, man. It really is. OTS Tribal Queen with a new recommitment to the club, the VIP club. Thank you, OTS Tribal Queen. Oso Vaughn with a $4.99. It makes me so damn happy to see Bronson Reed do what he do. He just tsunamied freaking Roman Reigns. This is how you build a motherfucking star. Also, B-Fab looked really good tonight. Yes, you did. Also, Oso Vaughn with a $1.99. B-Fab rappers. Her own entrance. Awesome shit. I did not know that. Michelle Moran with a $2 super chat. Looks like Seth with Roman. Rock will definitely betray Roman. Sue with a $5 super chat. JD, as usual, you called all this down to the last drop. Keep reporting because no one beats the best. The OTS one and only. JD, cheers, my brother. Thank you, Sue. Steelo EXE with a new membership. Steelo, welcome to the VIP club, brother. Don Finucci with a $5 super chat. How great is Mauro Ranallo? He's fucking great. He's the GOAT. Listening to you and him right now on the Tyson Jake Paul fight. OTS for life. Thank you, Don Finucci. Mauro is the GOAT. Johnny Boy Vaccaro with a $5 super chat. Tamatonga was considered the MFT. Could it be a front as the real MFT, meaning Mayavia family tribe? That's certainly a way to look at it. Certainly a way to look at it. Johnny Clockwork with a $4.99. Randy told Cody, we don't have a problem unless you make it a problem. Cody has definitely made it a problem. The Viper's coming, fangs out. Absolutely. I just don't know when that match is happening, whether it's the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't know. Steelo with a $10 super chat. Staying live for Tyson Paul. Thank you, JD. Thank you, really. Thank you, Steelo. Thank you for staying here, brother. Triple M with a $2 super chat. He said it was a rough watch. Yeah, it was. $2 super chat by Steelo. SmackDown was better. W Wrestling fans. Arrangements with a $1.99. That was basically Undertaker Roman. WrestleMania 33. Basically. Or Lesnar and Undertaker. For sure. Jackie Boy with a $2 super chat. Jake is just going to be more insufferable now. Yeah. He certainly is. Not that I pay attention to them anyway. Best in the world, Matt, with a $5 super chat. Sounds like Tony Khan booked this boxing match. Let's not give Tony Khan any more grief than he already has, man. He's a struggling promoter right now. MVP is going to be livid with a $2 super chat from Steelo. I don't know, man. Why would he be livid? I'm pretty sure he knew the outcome of this match before it actually happened. J.S. Han with a $5 super chat. J.D. reacting to Tyson versus Paul like he did to Dynamite. Deja vu all over again. We need Hologram and the Beast Mortos to jump in. No. No. Indus Share with a $5 super chat. $60 million for that garbage boxing match. Yeah, it's a large sum of money for an absolute waste of time. Major with a $4.99. He says, JD, please say it. Tony Khan lost to little fucking Guido. And Apex Calibre with a $1.99. Canelo would eat Jake Paul alive. Why bother? Why bother? I don't know. Is Jake Paul ever going to be beaten? Who's going to step up and beat Jake Paul and shut him up? Anyway, guys, that's all I got for you, man. We are about to get out of here. Gold Standard with a $5 super chat. What an interesting fight. Yeah. What an interesting fight. I mean, it's all garbage, man. It's all garbage. When you guys realize that boxing and the NFL and all your major sports, the Super Bowl is all fixed, it's all rigged, man, the quicker you realize, you know, not to be disappointed, honestly. It's disgusting. It's all disgusting, man. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with me tonight, man. I'm about to get out of here. I got to do some babysitting with the kittens upstairs, and I'm going to hop on some Black Ops 6 and try and level up. Thank you guys for all your support, man. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the other content on the channel. And if there is news this weekend, you will get it right here on Off the Script. I will see you guys live next on Monday for Monday Night Raw.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.